All right.
Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right, all right. This is Watchmen on the Wall. This is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you from Warren, Ohio, making my steps on down there in Atlanta, Georgia on Blog Talk Radio. Derek Oliver is the host, and I have my friend over here in Texas, Brother Tim Jackson, man of God. We are here to preach the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are here to proclaim his burial, his death, and his resurrection, and his second coming. Coming back to earth. Amen. He done made a trip, been gone for 2,000 years. 2,000 years are up. God's got the timepiece. God's got the exact day, exact hour, exact minute, exact second. He's going to rapture the church. No man knows that day, but let me tell you, the Bible gives us all kinds of prophecies to let you know how close the train is coming. Amen. I mean, he's going to come at certain point of the last generation, and we are Amen. In the last generation. A generation is 80 years. In 2029, we'll conclude 80 years from the time of 1948 to 2029. Jesus Christ, 24th chapter, the 13th chapter. And in St. Luke, it gives you all kinds of prophecies that would happen before he come back. There's two phases of his coming. The first phase is the rapture. The second phase is the tribulation period. And at the end of the great tribulation period, Christ will actually dynamically split the sky. Oh, yes, he will. He's going to split the sky, and the whole world will witness the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Those that are alive, those that are alive and the righteous are going to see him in power and in great glory. And nobody won't have to answer the questions and think about it and look it over. It will be the final act that Christ will come back and judge the world in rich and righteous at the Battle of Armageddon. And from the Battle of Armageddon, we're going into the millennium reign, because the Lord is going to eliminate sin from the face of the earth. He's going to get rid of every low-down, dirty, rotten things that Satan has brought up on this planet, and it started in the Garden of Eden. And he's damning souls today because Satan says, I want souls. I want souls. I want the whole human race to go to hell with me. He knows he ain't have no joy. He don't have no hope. He don't have no peace. He don't have nothing but killing, robbing, and destroying. But Jesus Christ says, I want souls. I want souls. And what I'm going to do, God said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to become man, and I'm going to die. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be railed. I'm going to be ostracized. I'm going to drop my head between the locks of my shoulder, and I'm going to give up the ghost. I'm going down into hell and let the devil know I'm the victor. I am the power. I am the might, and I'm going to conquer. I'm going to conquer those that what? Those that want Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, because Christ is not going to force himself on you. God ain't going to try to make you do nothing. The only thing he said, come unto me, those are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, whosoever will, let him come. You come willfully. You come because you want Christ. You become because you are telling yourself, I don't want to go to hell. I go anywhere in the world, in the face of the earth. I go on the outside of eternity if I can get there. But I don't want nobody. Brother Tim, don't want nobody to go to hell. Why are we here on this TV? Why are we on this program? Watchmen on the Wall. Why are we doing this? We're doing this to proclaim Christ, because he's the only one can save your soul. He's the only one can save your soul. No other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. Because God is the God of God and the God of Lord of Lords. He can do anything but fail. and what he did on Calvary's cross, let me tell you now, there ain't no more other deity. There's no occult. There is no denomination that could do what Jesus Christ did alone, all by himself, with the Father saying, not my will be done, but the will of him that I sent. And so what did God do? He sent himself. Woo! He sent himself. There was nobody else. Uh-uh. Nobody else. Before false gods ever came, it was God already. And the false gods come through Satan. Satan wanted to be like God. He wanted to look like God. He wanted to dress like God. He ain't nothing but a low-down, dirty, rotten copycat because he couldn't get the position of heaven. He wanted to take over the universe. He wanted to take. If he could have got it, he couldn't have ran it because he ain't got no power. He ain't got no power for righteousness. He ain't got no power to straighten that knot, crooked as a camel's back. And now he has been on this planet for 6,000 years. And look at it. And it happens just because Adam and Eve disobeyed God, made the world a jungle. We're here tonight to teach, preach, proclaim the word of the living God. I'm going to go into prayer right now. And when I go into prayer, we're going to get into the word. Brother Tim going to come on first, amen, because he's going to be on with me an hour, and I want to hear him, whatever the Lord has to say for him first, amen. I want you to hear it first, because this is urgent. This is emergency. Woo! You see ambulance going down the road. I seen 4 or 5 go down the road. I had to get out the way. Oh, I had to get out the way, because if I didn't go, I'd break the law. Woo! And you know what the devil's doing? The devil's in the middle of the street trying to stop this gospel from being preached by me and brother. Yes. By me and brother Timothy Jackson. But let me tell you something. This is an emergency. We are hollering every day. We are praying every day. We are studying every day. We're asking the Lord, give us the word that men and women, boys and girls, can come to Jesus Christ and receive salvation. It means change your life by repenting of your sins and turning from the world. Hate the world. Well, because there's nothing in the world to be loved. It's damnation. It's condemnation. Jesus Christ can only bring you peace, love, joy, and mercy. So what we're going to go on today, we're going to ask the Lord to come on in. Amen. Do what he has to do through the Holy Spirit. Let it be in us that we can proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for one more time. Realizing Satan is seeking and roaring like a lion who he may devour. Amen. He don't want this gospel to go out, but we're coming down the highway. Holiness, and Satan has to be removed. Amen. And we're going to do it. We're going to let this mighty God save somebody tonight that they can get an understanding of what's getting ready to happen on this planet, because Jesus Christ is getting ready to turn the world into a marvelous utopia. But he's got to do it, amen, on his own terms. We ask you right now that we can teach and preach and convict men, boys, and girls. Jesus Christ is nobody else but Lord God Almighty in the flesh. We thank you for this, that your Holy Spirit move in Jesus' name. Church say amen. Go ahead, brother. You on it.
Amen, brother. All glory be to the Most High God, Yahweh. Amen. We thank him for his son, Yeshua. Amen. We thank him for our life, soul, health, and strength. Brother, I thank you for that strong prayer. We're praying for the strong men and women of the Most High God, Yahweh. Amen, that we come forward together, we band together, and we fight against this evil that's going on in the world. And we continue to preach the gospel, amen, because the Lord knows it is needed at this day and time and this hour, amen, that we are in. Amen.
Amen.
We know there are a lot of things going on. The U.S. just dispatched 3,000, deployed 3,000 more troops, amen. And so we have people who family members are gone overseas. They're going to be overseas.
Come on now.
And we're just praying, hoping that this does not happen, because both sides agree, and experts all over the world agree, it's not going to be good. Amen.
Amen, brother.
But we know, according to prophecy, what we read in the Bible. Amen. Revelation. This is going to take place. Christ talks about wars and rumors of wars. Amen. And when you know that there's rumors of wars, there's always yet to what come? Wars.
Come on.
Amen. Out of rumors of wars comes wars. That's a fact.
Come on.
Amen. Because,
yes,
you know, everybody's saying, oh, well, you know, everybody quit talking about it and they're just stirring it up. Well, it's not so much that. It's concerns. Amen. I said it before. Somebody shows up at your doorstep, of a bunch of men show up at your doorstep with guns. What else are you to think? Amen. You can't help but
think
that you want a war. If you show up on my doorstep with weapons, amen, it don't look good. Let's just be honest. It don't look good, but the world is kind of pushed to the side. People feel like because they've had conflict and actual war before in the past, that this is not going to be something. This is different. Russia is saying that their economy is declining rapidly. It's declining. And so they need something. And the brother preached it a few weeks ago. They need oil. They need, I think he called it potash. Amen. They need fertilizer. They're in a freezing country. You know, they're in an ice country. They can't grow much there. Everything they get is mainly import. You can't do much when the weather most of the season is cold. People may be used to it, but it's unbearable. Amen. You're dealing with below zero weather and below the teens weather, 3 or 4 months out of the year, that can slow things down. So most of the things have to be imported to that part of the world. And so their economy is suffering, and America has vowed that if it jumps off, they're going to sanction. Well, don't you know if America sanctions Russia, and if NATO jumps in, there is no turning back. Lord have mercy, man. Y'all better get ready out here for the return of Christ. You can stop playing. You can stop hoping and wishing that this thing's going to go away. It's going to eventually happen because the Bible, it ain't going to go away. The Bible prophesies that this is going to happen. So the best thing for you to do is to go ahead and receive salvation. So when the trumpets blow, when the dead in Christ rise, and those of us who are alive and remain, that you pray that you be in that number, because we don't want nobody to be lost. Amen, brother. We don't want no soul to be lost for you daily. Amen. It's been on my heart today. I know it's been on the brother's heart daily. Amen. I know it's been on your heart, brother. Amen. You're praying too. You're praying for the world. We're praying for souls. And I ask everything, Lord, you know, I was just thinking today, brother. I say, man, I say, you know what? It's almost unfair that man die and lose his soul. Why? Why you say it's unfair? Because Lucifer caused all this. Satan caused all this to happen. If he wouldn't have done what he did, none of this would have been to happen. Amen. Sin would have entered into the world. Adam and Eve would have never failed. Man could have lived for all eternity in peace. But because of the rebellion of Satan and those angels, look what they have done. The Bible says death has entered. Amen, brother. Death has entered into the world. And if you feel like I know, death stinks. And I mean, it stinks. Amen.
It stinks,
doctor. Amen. The smell of dead body, it stinks. Amen.
You're right.
Amen.
Come on.
And so we don't want you to be lost. Amen. So if you think about dead bodies are rotten, you have to be around that for all eternity if you choose not to go with God. We are praying for you. We're going to get into some scriptures here. So I want to talk about some things. I know we were dealing with the seven churches. I'm going to talk about a little bit, amen, about the seven churches. Amen. It's been a long week. Amen. But nonetheless, I thank the Most High God, amen, for bringing me out and taking me through whatever it is that I go through and deal with. Like I tell people all the time, people think that because you preach the word, amen, that you're invincible, that things don't happen, that you don't need prayer, that things don't come, that you don't get attacked. We get attacked just like you. We maybe get attacked more than the average person. Why? The devil's after us. Amen. He is after us left and right. But you want to know why? He's mad at us because we're preaching the gospel and we're what? We're saving souls. We're trying to bring as many people to the kingdom of God before it is too late, and before the hour the trumpet blows. Amen. And with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and jump into some scriptures tonight. Amen. Let's go ahead and get started. Amen. The brothers gave a wonderful, amen, prayer. Amen. We're going to go to Revelation, the second chapter. Amen. I know that we've been talking about Revelation 1. It's time to go and get into those seven churches. I'm going to talk a bit about Ephesus. Not a lot tonight. Amen. I'm going to have to split up and come back this weekend and kind of go over a little bit more thorough. Amen. I just want to give you a scripture too. I'm going to read Revelation, the second chapter, verses 1 through 7. Amen. I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit lead and guide. I ain't gonna go too in-depth, but I'm going to read it tonight. Amen. This is what it says.
All right.
Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things. Said he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Amen. Who is he talking about? Amen. I'm going to come back and talk about that. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles. Amen. And are not, and have found them liars. Amen. We see that today. And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Amen. There goes the condemnation. Amen. Of the church of Ephesus. Amen. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Amen. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. May the Lord Almighty, Heavenly Father Yahweh, add a blessing to the hearing and reading of his holy word. Amen. I ain't heard that said in so many years, brother. I remember we used to say that as kids. Amen. He used to give us the scriptures to read. Say, may the Lord, amen, add a blessing to the hearing and reading of his holy word. Amen. Amen. Brother, the church, we believe, amen, I believe, I know you strongly believe, is
amen.
About to go home. Amen. The church will not and cannot go through the tribulation. Amen. I know some find that hard to believe, but you continue to find that hard to believe, but I don't. Amen. I just read another scripture today, amen, where God said that how he's going to keep us and always protect us. Amen. So that don't sound like we're going through the great tribulation if he's going to protect us. Amen. That don't sound like we're going through the great tribulation. Amen.
No way.
Amen. No way. That's right, doctor. Amen. So I want to call your attention to Revelation, the 20th chapter, before I go into a few verses into Revelation,
ahead,
the second chapter. Watch what Christ gave to John. He said, the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are what? The angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So
we have
an understanding what the stars are, the stars of the angels, and what the candlesticks are, which some call the lampstands. These are the seven churches. Amen. Which Christ, if you look down in the first verse of Revelation 2, it said that that Christ who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, that means Christ is always at church. Amen?
Yes.
Whenever we have church, he's right here. He's in the midst right now. We have these Bible study, these Bible teaching. Amen. Right now, through the Holy Spirit, amen, the Most High God, Yahweh, Yahshua, and the Holy Spirit, amen, is in the midst. He said, where there's two or three gathered in my name, amen. We thank him tonight. Amen, for his grace and his mercy, and most of all, his awesome love that's unconditioned. Amen. He loved me when I wasn't studying him, when I was a sinner in the world, and I thank him for saving my soul.
Yes,
I wasn't worthy of his salvation, but I thank him for it. Amen. You know how I am with the word. I get so excited, though. I got to go to work, though. I may deal with things. Amen. But when I get in the spirit, amen, I say I'm going to be on an hour sometimes. I hang in there a little long with the brother, but we'll see tonight. Go ahead. But I want to share with you, amen, that it is Christ, amen. And so what are the seven stars? Now, the word angel in the Greek is translated angelos, amen, which we pronounce it angelos, which is where we get angels, amen. That's the Greek,
amen.
So if you look at the interpretation, what does this word angels mean? It means a messenger. And we know throughout the history of the Bible that who are the great messengers? Who always come to give us tidings, amen? Who come to give us warnings? Angels do, amen? Amen. We know throughout the Bible that the angels are the ones. So some interpret this right here to mean actual spiritual angels of heaven. Amen. Some believe it to mean the leadership of the church. Amen. In this case, amen, I actually, the pastoralship, amen. And I think through the angels of God, amen, that lead us and guide us, amen. We know that this is the Holy Spirit, amen, that this is referring to the pastoralship of the church. Amen. Amen. So in other words, Elder Watchman on the Wall, Elder Bazaar, amen, Timothy Jackson, the overseer, amen, we are the leadership of the church, amen. We are spearheaded. So Christ gave this message to who? Us, to give to you, amen, because we love you, amen. We want you to receive the word. We want you to be delivered. We want you to receive salvation, amen. So he has given this power and authority through the Holy Spirit to share this word. It's not our word, amen, it's God's word. And all we're doing is being vessels, we're being obedient, amen, doctor. And we just want to share this word. Amen. Now, what I want to call your attention to, I had once read once upon a time over in Malachi. Let's see if I can still find things. Malachi, the second chapter. Hopefully I can find it. It's been a little bit. Amen, I think so. But let me see if I can find that. Amen. Hopefully I can find it, brother. Amen. It's the verse that talks about the it's a minister. Amen. I may have to come back. It's a minister, amen, that he was a messenger. And the interpretation was as if he was like an angel, but he was an actual messenger that brought forth the word, amen, and he shared the tidings, amen. I could be in the wrong book, but I'll come back and I'll do a little bit more research on it. Hey, I'll come back to it, amen, amen. But I thought I could find it now. I kind of got a little disturbed because I couldn't find it. Amen. I'm like, man, where is that scripture? But I'll find it and come back and share it with you. But the point that I'm making, amen, is that the angels are the leadership in this case, amen, of the church. Now watch what he said in verse 2. He says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Amen. Amen. Now, I remember, amen, if I remember correctly, I remember this. Amen. To be an apostle, amen, you can correct me if I'm wrong, brother, you have to actually witness Christ himself. Amen. You have to see him in the flesh, or at least have seen him, even if he was in the spirit. Amen. After he was resurrected, you have to have actually seen Christ to be considered an apostle, amen. And so, amen. But what I want to talk about tonight is some of the things with the Church of Ephesus, amen. Amen. I'm trying to catch up. I told you I've been dealing with some things, amen. But we're gonna let the Holy Spirit work, amen. And nothing bad. I don't want you to think it's nothing bad, amen. It's not. It's just that sometimes we go through this life, and I deal with things every day just like everybody else, amen. So watch this.
Amen.
The name Ephesus, the meaning is desired one, okay? Mm-hmm. It was an apostolic church. It was in A.D. 32-100. The praise was they hated the Nicolaitans, and that was a group that kind of tried to infiltrate the church. It's over in the book of Acts. I can't find the scripture now. Like I said, this is some study I did a while back. That's why I can't recall the scriptures. I try to remember them, but, you know, you have so many scriptures, you can't memorize all of them. Amen. But this was a group that tries to bring in false teachings into the church. Now,
that's
the
right.
condemnation was that they had lost their first love.
Yeah.
Meaning that, amen, the teachings that they were taught about Christ, they began to kind of drift away a little bit, and they began to adopt other teachings, amen. So we know that that can happen if you're not careful. Amen. You got to watch what people bring in, these false doctrines that people try to
come
teach. You don't want to adopt somebody. Amen. It's called
amen.
Apostasy. Amen. Apostasy in the church. You don't want to start adopting somebody's false teaching. Like I heard people say, you can lose your salvation. Now, I'm not going to go along and get along with nobody when it comes to the word. Amen. I'm sure I know that. I know Elder Bazaar not either. Amen.
Amen.
We want to rightly divide the word as best that we can. Amen. So,
amen.
So they left their first love. And what happened was that they began to let people come in with these false doctrines.
Yes, sir. Come
the
on.
Word amen. The word Nicolaitans comes from the word Nico, to conquer, and Laos, a people. So these were conquering people. That was just what their name is, conquering people. And so
yeah.
Early on, there was an effort to set up a system of ecclesiastical rulership, such as bishops, cardinals, popes, but this church evidently was able to withstand ecclesiasticism, which the Pergamos church later accepted. So we see that the church of Ephesus declined this type of apostasy. That's what it was.
Yeah.
False teachings. We see that in churches now. And I refuse, if I hear a pastor preaching something that's not biblical, it just makes no sense, I refuse to sit among the congregation in the pews.
Amen.
Amen. My wife will tell you right now, we actually walked out of a church one time in the middle of a sermon because I didn't too much I just didn't agree because my brother was saying something against love. I'm like, no, you got to have love, brother. You can't exclude love. God is love. Amen.
Brother,
you start preaching that. Amen, brother. That's what's wrong with the church now. One of the main reasons why the church has gone astray and the world's in the way, the situation that it is, because people don't want to show love. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to say a few more things. I'm going to hand it over to the brother real quick, but I want to share that with you. Amen, about the church of Ephesus. Ephesus, the city of Ephesus, worshiped the goddess Diana. Amen. Its famed temple of Artemis is considered one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. So this temple, they reconstructed. It's a beautiful temple, the way that they have reconstructed. They got one in Istanbul, Turkey, that they reconstructed. Now, the original one is in rubbles. It's like it's barely – I think they only got like one column, and it's barely setting up. They put it on some stones because it's – I mean, you're talking about 2,000 years ago, basically. But, yeah, this place here was – this temple was nice. It was beautiful. And so they worship who? The goddess of Diana. Now, the Ephesian church was started by Paul on his second missionary journey. Paul had stood up the city with his dynamic preaching, and the response was so positive and overwhelming that the silversmiths created a protest riot. The Ephesians church was one of the largest churches in the area. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to share that with you real quick before I turn over to the brother. And
no,
I got
brother,
a few more scriptures. Amen. And we got a few more scriptures. Amen. So remember, amen, the blessed hope, because this is what we're talking about. Amen. We're dealing with the church. The church is about to go home. We don't want you to miss the blessed hope. Amen. So that's what the scriptures call it, the blessed hope. I know that sometimes we use the old school terminology. Amen. The old school. My dad used to say the glory bound train. That's what they used to call it. I said the glory bound train. And they're like, man, what are you talking about? And I used to picture this train, this beautiful golden train. Amen. And I don't know if some of y'all can remember when I was a kid, Tom and Jerry used to have this cartoon, and they would always show when Tom the cat died because he didn't do right, he went to hell. Amen. Bro, I don't know if you remember this little cartoon with Tom and Jerry. And then they showed about this train, about him going to heaven, how he can go to heaven. He got a second chance. So it was just kind of funny that these things that they showed. Amen. But I just want to just kind of bring that up because we're talking about the blessed hope, which is 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 16 and 17, where Paul talks about the dead in Christ being risen and the church being gathered together to be with Christ. And this is what we're talking about. I'm going to come back and revisit some scriptures. I'm going to turn it over to the brother right now at the bottom of the hour. Brother, go ahead. I'm going to come back and say a few
all
more
right,
things.
Brother.
Go ahead,
doctor. Amen. Praise God. We thank the Lord for brother.
Amen.
Brother Tim, thank you for his knowledge that he have. He done got me
all
stirred
good.
Up. Amen. He don't know, but he done got me stirred up on these seven churches of Asia Minor. And I'm going to pick up where he left off, and when he comes back to you, amen, he can pick up the rest of it. Amen. The seven churches of Asia Minor, the seven conditions that the church would be in that day, in the span of time, all the way across to the today, and there are churches today that are under the seven conditions that the churches was in ancient day. In other words, the churches of Asia Minor represent the church age from the beginning of the church until the end of the church. The beginning of the church is Ephesus. This last church is Laodicea. The church of Ephesus was in bad shape because they backslid. They left their first love. They didn't lose their first love. They left their first love. In other words, they were more concerned about conditions of what to do, what not to do, and they have forgotten about the love of Christ. So they was putting works before Christ, and they had left the first love because they weren't loving each other right. Amen. It's because the Bible say, I don't know what your Bible say, but I got a 66 book page Bible written by the Jews and written by God through holy men as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We got 39 books in the Old Testament. We got 27 in the New Testament. And every one of them is right. Oh, look over here. Look over here, my. Every one of the writings is right. You can't change it. You can't burn it. You can't destroy it. You can't drown it. Why? Because it's God's word. He said heaven and earth will pass away first before the word of God passes away. And in the seven churches of Asia Minor, Ephesus, we got a group of men in there called Nicolaitans. In other words, they were rulers. They wanted to rule. They wanted to come in and take over the church and be the rulers. And what they were doing, they were bringing paganism in. Paganism is devil worship. Paganism belongs to Satan. Every pagan religion that exists in the world today comes from the devil, the D-E-V-I-L, the devil, low-down, dirty, fallen cherub. He used to be the most beautiful thing in heaven. Oh, God Almighty. That man had it laid out. God laid it out for him, but he didn't know how to treat it. He got so proud. He got so proud, and he got his beauty. He thought his beauty was the best thing that a person can have. He thought his beauty was more powerful than God Almighty, and he decided to try. You hear what I say? He decided to try to take God's throne and take his glory
right.
and debunk him. He wanted him to go to hell. Ooh, my God. He got a lot of gold when he was created by him. That's how stupid he was. And people are stupid today to believe that there's no God. People are stupid today to believe he can live any kind of old way and say any kind of old thing and go to heaven. But you're not going to go to heaven until you have a change. You got to be changed from darkness into the light. Who got the light? Jesus Christ is the light. He is the light of the world, not the devil. Now, the devil can show you a whole lot of things to enlighten you. He can enlighten you. He can make things that damnable. He can make it look good. Oh, come on now. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Look at some of these women, how they dress. Look at
that's
their
right.
shape. Look at their boobs. Look at their hair long. Look at the legs and all that. The devil can make that thing look so beautiful, man. If you don't know God, have you climbing the tree? Come on now. And Satan said, I'm going to put the most beautiful thing in front of you to make it look like it's godly. And it's diabolical. And the churches, the churches today have taken Christ and left him on the outside of the door, and they in there partying. They in there jamming. They in there doing everything they want to do. Well, see, these men that came in the church of Ephesus in the early time, they crept in. Here's what they were doing. Listen what they were doing. It says they were coming in saying that they were Jews, and they were not. In other words, they were saying that they were Christian, and they wasn't Christian. What you talking about, please? I'm talking about unregenerated men that don't know God, never experienced the blood of Jesus Christ, never had a change, don't know what love is. They call love their own love. And most people say love is sex, but love is not necessarily sex. Sex is just an expression of love, but it's not love. Oh, my God, look at what I'm talking about. Don't talk about that, man, because there's so many people in churches that are doing all kind of little low-down, dirty stuff and trying to do what? Trying to claim the name of Jesus Christ.
Uh-oh.
You know what you're doing? You're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite, and a hypocrite is somebody that pretends that they know Jesus Christ. And they say that they know Jesus Christ. And they try to live like they know Jesus Christ. But let me tell you,
Amen.
You cannot live like Christ. Oh, my God. You can't live like Christ until you know Christ. You got to know Christ and the pardon of your sin. You got to repent before God, before you can ever understand what salvation it is. Repent means to turn with a broken, contrite spirit. And these men was coming in and said, we know Jesus. And at the same time, they were bringing pagan inside the church. And they were trying to take
Amen.
The position of, they tried to rule and be the boss of the church. And after that, they tell me the second church, to make a long story short, the second church was named Smyrna. And Smyrna was a suffering church. These are true, genuine, born-again believers, turning the world upside down because they trusted in Jesus Christ, and because they were trusting in Jesus Christ, and they wouldn't give up their life for nothing. They wouldn't trade a soul, don't sell their soul for nothing, because they don't believe in Jesus Christ, a diehard Christian, and they were willing enough. Ooh, listen here. They were willing enough to die for the blood of Jesus Christ, and die for the suffering of Jesus Christ, and stand up against sin and degradation. And because Rome went against them, because Rome said, no, we don't want that kind of living. We don't want to live holy. We talking about living holy. If you live holy, you got to separate yourself from sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you separate yourself from sin through the blood of Jesus Christ, guess what? You become holy by faith in him. What did he do? He came all the way down from heaven. Who? God himself. How?
Amen.
He became a man. He became a man. He had veins. He had a heart. He had eyes. He had a mouth. God in man. Uh-oh. God in man, meaning that Jesus Christ said, I am my Father one. And the Jews say, why? You say you one. If you say yourself one, you make yourself God. And Jesus said, no, if I call you gods, amen, how can I be the Son of God? How can I be God? I can do anything. What God did, if you go to hell, if you go to hell, guess what? It'll be your fault. Because if you reject Christ, when you reject Jesus, I didn't say reject the church. I didn't say reject your mama or your daddy. I said when you reject the blood of Jesus Christ, because that blood was not man's blood. That blood was God's blood. And God's blood is precious. God's blood is powerful. God's blood is a changing life blood. God's blood is a holy blood. God's blood is the almighty blood. He is the only one in heaven and in earth. And if you could get on the other side of eternity, it would still be the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why Apostle Peter said, he said, there is no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved than the name of Jesus Christ, because the soul is in. And it was God's soul in the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross and died for my lowdown, dirty, rotten, backbone sin. Sin is nasty, it stinks, it smells, It's obnoxious.
On,
it makes no good at the beginning. A cigarette smoke, a nice sweet beer drink, a nice good-looking woman with everything that you got may look good, a good-looking car, a good-looking house, and people will fall down at anything other than the blood of Jesus Christ for the repentance of their sins and be salvation. And so they say, well, I want to get everything I can get before I die, because after I die, I believe. This is what they believe. I believe I still can get in heaven. But I don't care what you die with. If you die without Christ, if you die without Jesus, if you die without being redeemed, if you die without being sealed with the Spirit, if you die in a lost situation, I guarantee you through the word of God, you'll look up in hell and you'll say, oh, what a fool I was. I thought I had it made. I had everything I could think of. And the church at this time, which was Smyrna, they was willing enough to reject the world, reject every damnable doctrine, reject every pagan god, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were persecuted. They were killed. But guess what? By them being killed and slaughtered, people begin to get saved under the persecution in the Smyrna church, and the devil saw it. And when the devil saw it, he said, uh-oh, I made a mistake. Because more suffering you go through, amen, in the generation that we're living in now, people are suffering with tornadoes, hurricanes, all kinds of stuff that's going on. And people
that's
ain't telling you got coronavirus. You got all kinds of diseases. You got all kinds of murders and all kinds of sex pornography. You got all kinds of young women and young men, pornography, and the people talking about, oh, what's wrong with the world? The world is in a mess. Yes, it's in a mess. It's in a mess because the world has rejected Jesus Christ. They have rejected the man that what died on Calvary's cross, and now we're beginning to suffer for it. And guess what? More people have gotten saved since the coronavirus. Ooh.
Amen. Come on, doctor.
In the church, amen, because certain folks think they already got it and they ain't got nothing. They're saving people in prison. They're saving people in the corner. They're saving people in remote areas, in the jungle. They're saving, God is saving people everywhere. Don't you think because
right.
you're sitting on the corner and you're sitting in a little square temple and you got your music, you got your drums, you got your clothes, you got your car, when you get through with church, you can go home and lay down or you can go home and watch your football game. You say, oh, man, I got it made. But there's people out on the battlefield losing their lives to get the gospel
right.
of Jesus Christ to the world, and you talking about you love the Lord. But if you love the Lord, you ought to love people. If a man say he loved God and hate his brother, he's a stone liar, and the love of God is not him. And the Bible says God cannot tarry with a liar. In other words, if I tell myself that I love God and hate my brother or hate my sister or hate the racism, hate the denomination. But I'm going to tell you got to love everybody before you can ever know who God is, and God is love. So what? Samaritan church was that dynamic church. If you would go to a Samaritan church, your life would be in danger. If you was in Rome now, or if you come to the point of the great tribulation that's coming up on the earth, if you know God for sure and you are standing up for God, those people who were ready to die in a furnace, they were ready to be put in boiling oil, they were ready to
be
put in hot water. And during the tribulation period, it's going to make a repeat, because the tribulation period is going
right.
to be a testing time for the unbelievers that don't know Jesus Christ. They're going to have an opportunity to get their heads cut off or opportunity to receive the mark of the beast. And majority of the world will receive the mark of the beast, because the Bible says, what profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And the world can't understand that scripture, because let me tell you, what will it profit me if I got all the women? Ooh, what is it profit me? If
that's
I got
right.
all
Come
the
on, doctor.
What is it profit me? If I got all the stocks and bonds, what is it profit me? Good God Almighty. If I got everything I need and I got so much that I want to build bigger barns. But if you build bigger barns, there's a day coming when the Lord's going to speak to you at night. He will say, thou fool, your soul is
mm-hmm.
required to tonight, and if your soul ain't right with God, if your soul haven't been at the cross, if your soul hadn't been at the empty tomb, if your soul hasn't been down into hell, I'm not talking about you going to hell, but if you don't know that Jesus went down into hell to get the keys of death and hell from Satan and tell him, I got the power now in heaven and earth, that church, Smyrna church, and sin. Smyrna church, old Satan said, I'm going to back off now. I'm going to have to back off of this because he's supposed to get saved. Guess what happened next? Here come Constantine. Constantine said, I'm converted. I got my army, and I took them through the river, and I got baptized, and I put a cross on every one of them, a shield, and told them I'm a new convert. And Constantine, guess what he did? He brought heathenism. He brought pagan into the church of Pergamum, where Satan's seat sits. That's where Satan's seat sits. And Pergamus, meaning to do what? Compromise. And the world, the church is compromising with the world. They're compromising through gayism. Oh, everybody say, well, it's all right to be gay now. They're compromised. They say it's all right to be lesbian. They're compromised. It says all right to be homosexual. It's compromised. It says all right to be a drunk. You can be a whoremonger. You can be a fornicator. You can be in the witchcraft, but still you can be in the church. But I got some news for you. You're in the church of Satan, and you ain't in the church of the living God, because the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people, and the reproach is brought up on America because they got so many phony Christians walking around thinking they something because they got a little more than the other person. They're thinking them something because they got education. They think they're something because they got a little money, but they don't have no power. They got the form of goddess, but they don't have no power. And guess what they were doing in this year, pagan? Guess what they brought in there? They brought whores, whores, in the church, and they were laying them on the altar. They had baths. They had bath rooms in this year. Temple that the brother was talking about, temple of Diana, this temple of Artemis, all these here goddess women, amen. These women would shave their heads, go in and take a shower and put a whole lot of perfume in, and then the men would come in and say, now make your choice. We're going to worship. This is Christianity. We're going to worship Christianity. We're going to worship Christ. But let me tell you, Jesus, good God Almighty, he said, you're neither hot, you're neither cold, you're lukewarm. I'm going to vomit you. I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth, because you can't live a two lifestyles. You can't live a Christian and live like the devil. You can't live a Christian, amen, and live like sin. You're doing sin and you're gambling. You're whoremongering. You're doing everything, and then you go to the Pope. That's where the Pope started. That's where the Roman Catholic Church started, because the Roman Catholic Church came from Rome, and Rome was a paganist country, and Constantine was for Rome, and he brought all them gods into the side of the church, and they were using porn. They were using little children. They were often sacrificing to Moloch and Baal. This year, church was a compromising church. And Jesus Christ said, now look, I see what you're doing. You're doing that same doctrine that Balaam done. And what Balaam done, he told Balaam, Balak told Balaam to go up to the children of Israel and curse him. And he couldn't do it. The third time, he couldn't do it. And so old Balak said, well, I can't do nothing else. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow the doctrine of Balaam. What did Balaam do? Balak went down there and told the Moabite women, come on up to Israel. We're having a banquet tonight. Come on up. We're having a banquet tonight. Bring all those women. Bring the small ones, the short ones, the ugly ones, the pretty ones. Bring them on up in there. We're going to have a little party. We're going to jam all night long. And what the world is doing, church folks are jamming all night long.
That's it.
Inside the cover. They're trying to say, I know this. I'm trying to go to heaven. I'm looking for to go to heaven. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. But yet still, they're doing everything what the devil's doing and don't know how to pray, don't know how to sing, don't know how to live holy. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, you can't live holy. And so what happened? I'm going to tell you what happened. They finally got those women up there by those Israelite men, and those men went crazy.
They went crazy. They start drinking. They start stealing all over the women. They start going in these little separate rooms. They had their sex orgies all night long. They had so much that they come out sex drunk. They was drunk. They couldn't even, any woman that they could get, that's what they're doing. And what the world is doing, what the false church is doing today, they're doing the same thing. Preachers behind the pulpit, messing with the secretary, messing with the boys, messing with the little girls. They're doing what the same thing that Pergamos was doing. And guess what? When God got through with Israel, he said, the kindle of my wrath has come up on my nostril. He said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to go down there and get put the 5,000 men and hang them upside down in the sun, because I'm going to stay 25,000 men for fornicating with the Moabite women and having children by the Moabite women. And God destroyed 25,000 men, and he's the same God today. And guess what? That great whore that sits on the 13th chapter, the 13th chapter of Revelation, that great whore, the 17th chapter, had a golden cup in her hand full of what? Abomination. She drank that cup, and church folks are drinking that cup every day. And let me tell you, church is not church on Sunday. Church is every day. The church is not the bricks and the cinder blocks. The church is you. You're the moving. You're the moving divine motivator. You're supposed to be motivating people to live holy, and that Jesus Christ died. Guess what? That church is named Pergamos. The next, I'm going to run this down. The next church is Thyatira. And Thyatira means marriage. That's when the church married the world. And now you're living in the world 2022. And you can't tell church folk from a Christian almost. Why? Because the outer don't mean nothing. It's the inner. Amen. It's inside of you. Hey, that makes you a Christian. It on the outside. I can look like a rosebud. I can look like an angel flying through the air with a halo around my head. That don't mean nothing, for out of the heart is the issue of life. And this life that I'm talking about out of the heart has to come by Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ, guess what? You belong to the fallen church. The third church of Thyatira. There was a false teacher in there. It was a woman called Jezebel. Jezebel had a Jezebel spirit. And you know what kind of woman Jezebel was. Jezebel's one of that wicked woman. Ooh, she was wicked. She's one of the number one wickedest women in the world. And I know we got some wicked men today.
Amen.
We got some wicked man, a wicked brother. Ooh, they look good too. Ooh, pretty women. Ooh, you see a pretty woman? A pretty woman to me. I've seen pretty women now. And some of them are wicked. I see ugly women, and guess what? They ain't that wicked. But we all have an aptitude to be wicked because we're born in sin. But Jezebel was a wicked woman. She had, 850 Baal prophets working for her. And she was setting them up, man. She was setting them preachers up. Come on. I don't know if it's Johnny or Bobby. Come on, Bobby. Let me give you a fix. Let me go down to my house. I got a couple women down there. I want you to take care of. And the man might say, how many? I got five. You take any one you want. I mean, these are preachers. Preachers in the Roman Catholic Church, in the Baptist Church, you name it. They ain't a church on this face of this earth. Amen. If they living outside of Christ, they got some kind of panky-panky going on. But in the true church, it won't be. Jesus said, come out from among them and be ye separated, said the Lord. And you notice these churches are getting worse and worse as we go into 2022. The next church is Sardis. I'm going to give it over to the brothers. The next church is Sardis, which is the Reformation church. That's when the Protestants protested about the lifestyle, the way that people were working, and that lifestyle were working. They said that you could work to get your way to heaven. And Martin Luther said, wait a minute, I got 95 theses to dwell on Wittenberg's door. And I'm going to tell you the number one, the just, the righteous, the saints of God live by faith, not by works. People are living by works in the church today. Oh, I'm a secretary. Oh, I'm a preacher. Oh, I'm a deacon. Oh, I'm a janitor. I'm the piano player. You can work yourself to hell because you can't.
That's right.
Come into the kingdom of God unless you be born again. And what's born of flesh is flesh. What's born of spirit is spirit. Jesus Christ said, Nicodemus, look at me, man. You must be born again. And if Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, a rabbi of the Jews, you must be born again. Guess what? George E. Bazar, Brother Tim, got to be born again. All men that are saved, they got to be born again. God is not going to let nobody slip through the gate.
That's right.
Ain't no slipping. Ain't no compromising at the judgment seat of Christ, which is not for the sinner man, it's for the righteous. The great white throne will be judgment for the wicked. And ain't, guess what? Ain't nobody going to be saying, hey, Lord, hey, give me a deal. Come on, man. I know you're the man of a man. Come on, man. You know, I was a pretty good dude. I didn't bother nobody. I went to church. The Lord going to say, he's going to shake his head and say, nope, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't know you. The next church, and I'm going to turn it over to the brother. Next church is Philadelphia, the evangelistic church, the church that's on fire for God. Woo, I'm in the evangelistic church. Woo, because I like to see the word evangelize and proclaim what? Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. He's the King of kings.
Right.
He's the Lord of all. He's my Redeemer. He's the one that went to Calvary. Woo, went to Calvary. Nails driven through his hand, through his feet, pierced his side. Come on, quit them so bad on the back it looked like a pancake hamburger. They looked at his face and they said, I can't even look at it. Don't even look like the Messiah. But yet and still he dropped his head between the locks of his shoulder and gave up the ghost for who? George E. Bazar, whosoever will. Brother Tim, he died for him, died for his mother, died for his sister, died for my brother, my mother. He died for the whole world. If the whole world, amen, could see and understand that, amen, I believe more folks could be saved because you're not going to enter into heaven. We're living in 2022, the last church, and I'm going to give it to the brother, is Laodicea. And Laodicea means a lukewarm church, a lackadaisy church, a football playing church, a gambling church, a lying church, a lewd church, a sex church. It's got all that carnality and don't know nothing about the Spirit of God. Never felt the Spirit of God. Can sing, they can dance, they can do everything that you might think a Christian should be doing, but yet still they can't live holy. And the reason they can't live holy is because the devil can't live holy. The Laodicea Church, which right now we're in the last episode. The church, the future is almost ready to be raptured. Christ is coming back to rapture the church, Mr. Educator, Mr. Football player, men that build bridges and men that fly planes. Oh, man, y'all don't know what's getting ready to happen.
You don't.
The trumpet is all going to sound. Apostle Paul said, I'm going to give it to the brother. Apostle Paul said, the dead in Christ, you hear what I said?
Yep.
In Christ shall come up out their graves. And we, the living, that remain alive shall be caught up more faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, going to leap over the moon and stars. And, woo, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to be standing at the judgment seat of Christ in a split second. Now, how can you get ready in a split second? You better be right now. You better be right now. Young man, wherever you are. Young girl, wherever you are. Drunkard, liar, cheat, backbiter, prostitute. We love you out there. We don't love
That's
what
right.
you're doing, but we love you. We love your soul. We love to see you go to heaven. We want to live. I want you to live with Jesus Christ forever. I don't want you to go to hell for nobody. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to go to hell for nothing. Cause hell, I can't express it in my spirit and in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I can't express it. And you can't get out. You can't call the fire department to tell them to come down there. They won't come. Can't call your mama. Can't call your daddy. Can't call no kind of emergency delivery system. If you miss heaven, you got to go to hell. And the only way you can go to heaven is the blood of Jesus Christ in your life through the Holy Spirit. Go ahead, brother.
Amen, brother. Awesome. Brother. Amen. Amen. The brother said faster than you can blink, faster than you can think. Amen. We will be out of here, man. You blink your eyes, man, you'll be in heaven.
Go ahead, brother.
Amen. Amen. And this is a reality, amen, that we preach and teach the gospel, that this is soon. Amen. This is not something. We're not 2,000 years away from Christ. We're not 500 years or 1,000 years.
Too many.
Amen. From Christ. Amen. We are in the 19th 100th century, amen, now to the 20th century. And Christ is soon to come back. And he's on a time clock. He's on a calendar. Amen. We believe that God's always on time. Amen. He's always on time. Amen. Now watch this. Amen. I want to read to you Luke, the 19th chapter, verse 11. Watch this. Amen. It says, and as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Amen. That's going to happen in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, as Paul stated. Amen. Amen. It's going to happen in my time. Amen. Not during the time of the apostles.
Come on.
Not during the time of Paul. Not the churches. Amen. We are in the last church. Amen. Laodicea is the last church. Amen. And we're talking about that representing what? Amen. That started in the 1900s to present.
Yes, it did. Yeah.
We are in the last church. Amen. But we are in the last church, which is the modern church. Amen. And we are what? We are considered. Now, this church is going to, what's going to end that church age is the Great Tribulation. Amen.
Yeah.
The Laodicean church had no praise. Now, out of all churches, they had no praise. Amen. Which is, would kind of seem a little strange, but that's because the church, amen, is as we said, they are lukewarm. Amen. And God said, I'll spew you out. Amen.
Ow.
Lukewarm,
lukewarm,
poor, blind, naked. Amen.
Naked.
So God will say, amen. Amen. So the people was ruling. Says the Laodicea means the people ruling. This was a very wealthy city. Amen. They was like entrepreneurs. And if you think about it, what do people always talk about now? Amen. They talk about being entrepreneurs, self-employed. You know, people have the opportunity now more than ever. You know what? I heard someone say, I think it was on the air, or maybe it was on YouTube. I don't know what it was. I think it was on the air. I was listening to someone on the radio. They said that now more millionaires happen now than any other time in history. We are in a time where anybody can become rich. If you know, I don't know what they're doing to become rich. But they say every year, so many hundreds of people become millionaires within a short period of time. Amen. The church is wealthy. The world is rich. The world is all about self. Amen. They're not studying God. Most people are not looking to God. The people in the church are not looking for God. Amen. They definitely ain't looking to God. Amen. As you said, but you said more people from the world are getting saved than the people who attend church getting saved. Amen. Now, how does that work? Amen. You would think that people who have been going to church all their lives, amen, that they will finally receive Christ. But you know, amen, I was just talking to a member of mine the other day. Amen. I said, sister, are you ready? Amen. She said she hopes you're ready, sister. I said, sister, now you know that ain't what I taught. Amen. No such thing as you guessing now. You got to know this thing, amen. Amen. She's talking about, some things that she want to do. Now, sister, amen.
Come on.
Not the world, amen. There's a lot of things I would love to do, too. But guess what? Amen. I love God so much. amen, that if I don't get to do those things, I'm all right, because can't nothing, like Paul said, can't nothing compare to what we're going to get in heaven. And Paul said, all that you're going to do, that you're going to go through is going to be worth heaven. Amen. In other words, Paul said, man, if you had to go back and do it three more times, I would. After seeing what you're going to receive in heaven, man, let me tell you something.
Yeah, come
on. Once you are changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, anything, any bill that you got, you'll never have to worry about it. Any health issue you got, you'll never have to worry about it again. No more. Amen. Any animosity that you may have had with someone, amen, you'll never have that animosity again.
Never again.
No more. Amen. Any type of a job and lack of income or whatever your issue, whatever it is that you're dealing with, any type of stress, pain, hurt, no more. It's
no
gone.
More.
He's going to take that all away in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And your eternity, your brand new beginnings,
woo,
as the scripture says, when we see him, we are changed, we shall be like he is.
Like
you're going to have
him.
A brand new body. You ain't going to have to hunger no more, thirst no more. You don't have to cry no more.
No
amen.
More.
Amen. You ain't going to know what to do with yourself. You ain't going to think nothing of this world. The thing that you have, the worries of the cares of this world are going to be gone. You ain't going to care nothing about this world no more. Once Christ give you that new body, oh, man, you begin to receive your reward. Man, you're going to get that brand new robe that's been washed in the blood. Hallelujah, brother. That's right. Hallelujah. You ain't going to have to worry about nothing. Man, once he give you the crown, you going to... And I tell people this, everybody that's saved are going to at least have one crown on their head, because you want to know why? You're going to love his appearing. And when I say you're going to love the appearing of Christ, you're going to be so happy and so joy, the crown of rejoicing. You're just going to be shouting. You think you're shouting in Sunday service. Oh, man, you wait till you get to be up there with the other saints.
Woo!
You ain't going to know how to act. You ain't going to know how to act. Man, let me tell you, joy and beauty and glory, the angels of heaven, man, you just going to get to just enjoy yourself. Say, Lord, thank you.
Hallelujah.
Lord, thank you. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank
You're
you.
Not going to know what to
thank
do with
you.
Yourself. You ain't have to get up and go to that job anymore, stand on your feet all day, work, and you ain't have to do none of that. You have a fear no more, no more darkness, no more sickness, no more pain, no more fear. You won't have to be afraid of nothing.
Nothing.
Oh, man, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. We're all human, and even as a man, there's some time where I've been fearful. Amen. But you'll never have to be fear. Amen. Now, I understand what I'm saying. A lot of people say, well, I thought you said God ain't giving us the spirit of fear. Understand what I'm saying, amen. There are times that at some point in your life, even if it's for a short moment, you've been fearful of something. Amen. You've all been scared before. Someone scared you. Something has scared you. Amen. Something has crossed your mind. Amen. Fear is you may fear losing your job. Amen. You say, man, the economy's getting bad. I got bills to pay. I got mouths to feed. It's crossed your mind. You think it didn't cross my mind when I was laid off? You think the thought where I was out of work? I had never been out of work a whole month. No income. When they declined my unemployment, man, I was sick. The first thing I thought was like, man, I can't have my wife and kids out on the street. Amen. I was a saved man. I believed in God, sanctified, but I'm also human. Amen. But I begin to pray and believe God. Say, Lord, amen. I believe that you brought us this far. You're going to continue to take us further. Amen.
Yeah.
And next month, amen, we had an opportunity. God sustained us, and he blessed us to still pay our bills, pay our electric bills. Amen. Put food on the table. Amen. All I'm saying to you is these things you'll never have to worry about again. My gosh, who don't want to be part of this team? Oh,
no,
man. Amen, brother. Hey, who don't want to be a part of this team? Come join this side. This is the winning team. This is the winning side. You can't lose on this side.
No, you can't.
Hey, you can't lose with God. And my brother always said, if you want to win, put God in. I said, yeah, I know you're right, brother, because we can't lose. See, that's what Satan's mad about, because he don't want you. See, he's hiding and lying to you, and he has some of these false teachers lying, false preachers lying to you. Because he know if you get saved, there's worry no more. You want, he knows. See, he already knows what's in there. He knows what God is capable of. What you're going to get to enjoy. All eternity,
he does.
Never die. Man, I still, you know, right now, it's hard for me to wrap my mind around it, that we'll get to live in peace, love, peace,
love,
joy, no more enemies, brother, for all eternity, and beauty, and joy, and man, heaven's going to be ongoing, meaning that you'll never get bored of it. You'll never get tired. You know how sometimes people live in the house for 20 years, amen, they get a little tired, they want a new house. Man, heaven ain't going to be like that. Man, heaven's going to be ongoing. It's going to be something new all the time. It'll never get old to you. That's right, Dr. God. You got to understand, God is so powerful. He created all this. If man can come for 6,000 years and continue to bring up something new, God's going to be able to do it for all eternity. Things will be new all the time. He'll never get old, because while he's God, he is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing. Amen.
Amen.
Almighty sovereign God. Amen. Now watch this. Amen. Before I get ready to turn loose and give it back to the brother. Amen. Watch this. I got some scriptures I got to share with you. Amen. Got some scriptures I want to share with you tonight. Amen. Go to Romans. Let's go there. Romans, the 8th chapter. We're going to take a look at verse 23. Romans 8 and 23. Watch what it says. Hey, there it is. Hey, I even got it marked. It says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Amen. Who is the first fruits? Christ. We have the first fruit as Christ. We mean that what? We're going to be the first resurrection. This is what it talks about over the, if you go to, I'm going over real quick. Brother, if I got some time, I want to share this.
Go ahead, brother.
Amen. Revelation, the 20th chapter. And what does it say in Revelation, the 20th chapter? Let's see. Let's go on real quick. Revelation, the 20th chapter. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There it is. Verse 5. It says, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Amen. It says, this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection.
Yeah.
Amen. So we are the first fruit, amen, to be resurrected, because who's going to be resurrected first? The dead in Christ. Amen.
Yeah.
And then who after that? Amen. We're going to be caught up with him. Amen. Even we ourselves grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. Amen. You hear that? Even we ourselves grown with, in other words, Paul said to be what? Absent from the body. He'd rather be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We desire to be with God. The same. I know I do, brother. Amen. I know the sister I talk to, I know she loves God. Amen. And I know sometimes, you know, the cares of the world may weigh on you. Sometimes you do desire this life. Amen. Because you may say, hey, I want a better job. I want a bigger house. But guess what? God said, I got something bigger and better for you. Amen. But, we desire to be with God. It says, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Man, I told you the greatest gift that you're going to receive is what? Eternal life. You're going to get a brand new body. You ain't got to worry about going to the gym. You ain't got to worry about taking vitamins and supplements and medicine and all this makeup and all. Man, you're going to have such a beautiful, you're going to get a beautiful body, amen. I tell you, this body breaks down. Sometimes the back hurt. Sometimes my knee hurt from knee surgery. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Everything hurts, brother. I know that's right. Amen. Everything hurts. But guess what? You have a brand new man. You're going to be more than a Superman or a Superwoman. Man, you're going to be bad.
Come on.
Amen. You're going to be bad, man. Amen. Amen. You're going to be bad. Amen. I got one more scripture to share with you. I'm going to turn back over to the brother, man. I got a lot of scriptures. Amen. But, amen. Give them the time. Amen. Amen. I got to get them to go to work in the morning. But I want to share this other scripture with you. Amen. Before I go. Call your attention over to Titus, the book of Titus. Amen. I get over there real quick. Amen. Titus, I believe it's the second chapter, verse 13. That's what it is. Titus, the second chapter, verse 13. Amen. I get over there real quick. Amen. Should have had it marked. And there it is, right behind Timothy. Little small book. Amen. Titus, the second chapter, verse 13. Amen. This is what it says. Looking for that what? There it is. Blessed hope. Amen. Amen. Some folks like to call it the glory-bound train. Amen. But it's really called the blessed hope. And
blessed
the
hope.
Glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Yahshua. Amen. Man, you think about that. It's going to be beautiful. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Amen. That's the 14th verse right behind. But verse 13, amen. We are looking for that. See, this is what the church should be doing. That's what we should be teaching, looking for that blessed hope. I don't know about you, but, man, I'm looking for that sky to cry, like the brother say. It don't matter if it's raining. It don't matter if it's snowing. It don't matter if the sun is shining. Man, it ain't no matter what it's doing.
What?
When that sky crack open, Lord have mercy. You want to be one that's on our side. Because go home, amen, the great tribulation is going to start. Amen. Trust me. When I tell you, brothers and sisters, you don't want to have no part in that. God bless you. I love you, brother. Love you, too. And I'll be back on the air Saturday and Sunday this weekend. We're going to continue to preach this thing and bring it home. Amen. Keep watching what's going on in the world. Keep watching. Because what are we watching for? That blessed hope. Amen. I love you, family. You are royalty. Amen, brother. I am royalty. Amen. Elder Bazaar is royalty. We're looking for that blessed hope. Amen. Back over to you, brother. Good night and God bless you.
Over there for at least 5 minutes before you go to bed, because I know you got to go to work. I want you to hold in at least 5 minutes. Amen. You mentioned about fear. And the fear of my life, what I fear. I fear for those who miss heaven. I fear for those that reject Jesus Christ. I fear for those that have no desire to receive Christ in their life to live forever. I fear those that would have to go through torment and agony and pain and gnashing and gasping of teeth throughout eternity. I don't want nobody to be lost. I'm scared of that. Ooh, and the reason I'm scared of that is because I know I could be there, and it was a terror to me, of me even thinking I would go to hell. Ooh, it would scare me. It was faking everything out, but, you know, you can't be delivered until the Lord's delivered. But you do have sense enough to know, Lord, it's going to take Jesus Christ to be in that gorgeous. And just before Christ come, amen, we got to realize, as the brother said, we live in that little city of church age where nobody's interested in the return of Jesus Christ. And you can tell that by the way that people are living today. They worried more about coronavirus than I ain't never seen no people say like they're gonna drop over. But coronavirus is nothing but a common cold, common flu, common virus. And if you have bad immune system, you can die quicker than a person that has a greater, stronger, and trusting in the Lord. And that's what I'm trusting in, the Lord. We are living in that time where preachers are not reading from the Bible. People are not living by the Bible.
People don't have no second thought about the Bible. The lay members are not reading their own Bible. They're looking for the preacher to tell them, but how in the world can a preacher get up without a Bible and preach to me, and I got my Bible? And so many preachers today don't preach from the Bible. And when you start preaching from the Bible, the way that God wants you to preach it, guess what? It'll motivate you. It'll change your mind. If you really want to get serious, the incident that happened in the 16th chapter of Luke, where the rich man died, and then the beggar died, that's a real event. That's not no story. That's not no parable. That is a real event that Christ had on this earth when he was here. And when the rich man died, he lived sumptuous every day. He ate every day. He lived every day continuously, like a 365 days a year. Every day he would have banquets. And this beggar came along, this old beggar, Lazarus, came along full of sores, stanking up the place, dogs licking his sores, crawling up to get to the garbage can. And people today is living in garbage cans, trying to find a bit of food. And people in the restaurant are throwing away food. Good God Almighty. Ooh. They don't want to give it to the poor man. But let me tell you, people say, well, we don't want to kill nobody. Well, the food in the garbage can to kill them worse than giving the food away. But you know something? Food is running out. Our food industry is running out. Store shelves are more empty. Truck drivers are not driving. The grocery's not getting to the stores. The people are running out. They're living in fear. They're living in anxiety. They're living in depression. People can't go to sleep at night anymore. The reason why, because sin brings fear. Uncertainty brings fear. If you don't know where you're going after you die, you're living in an awesome fear. You're living in a total fear, because there's no fear in love. Love casts out all fear. You hear what I said? There's no fear in love. And God is love. And if you have the love of God in your heart, I'm talking about in your heart, in your soul, in your spirit, you have no fear through the blood of Jesus Christ to try to figure out where you're going when you die. I know where I am going when I leave this planet. I know that. I know that by the cross. What Jesus Christ did for me on Calvary's cross. Hey, look. I'm a 6'1". I only weigh 179 pounds. Made out of dust of the earth. Got something in my body that God wants. My soul. He saved my soul forever. He didn't save it temporarily. He didn't save it for Monday and let me be lost on Tuesday and then get back. No, he didn't save it. He saved me forever, because that was his intention before the world began. I'm going to build me a kingdom. I'm going to build me a church. I'm going to build me a body. I'm going to build me an everlasting kingdom of people who have been redeemed by my blood, Jesus Christ. And the devil said, oh, I'm going to try to damn everybody that ever was born. I'm going to kill babies. I'm going to kill everything that get in my way. I'm going to burn them. I'm going to get them to turn against the cross. I'm going to get them to reject the cross. I'm going to give them the opportunity to reject the man that died on the cross. Jesus Christ gave his life. And when he gave his life, he died. He went to hell and preached to those in prison. He had a revival in hell because he went down there and he revived every soul that was in paradise. Because before Christ died, man the men, the women, the Old Testament saints could not go before the throne of God because sin was still there. But when Jesus Christ shed his blood, he took every sin that they committed in the Old Testament time, and what? He put his spirit in them, and now they are able to leave paradise back there when Christ resurrected from the dead, and now they are in the presence of God. So when a saint dies, when a saint dies, now they go directly to heaven. How do you know that, preacher? I know that by the rich man and Lazarus. And to tell me the rich man, Lazarus died. When Lazarus died, the Bible said an angel, a holy angel, came down and took Lazarus' soul into paradise in the heart of the earth in the Old Testament time. And then he said, and the rich man died, and guess what? He said, and he lifted up his eyes in hell. I'll say that again. He lifted up his eyes in hell. And he knew why he was there. The reason why he was there is he rejected God as being creator. He rejected the love of God. And he told Lazarus, he told Abraham to tell Lazarus, Abraham, tell Lazarus to come down here or come across here. And on his way down, take his finger. This is what I'm saying. The Bible says, there ain't no lie. This is the truth. Take his finger and dip it, the tip of it, the tip. Don't bring me no glass of water. Don't bring me a jug of water. Don't bring me, oh, my God. Just bring me a tip of water on your finger and touch my tongue. For this flame, you hear what I said? Flame is tormenting me, agonizing, gritting and grinding my teeth together. I'm yelling, please, somebody help me. And the man was so concerned about his five brothers, he said, tell Lazarus to tell my brothers, don't come to this place. In other words, there is a hell, brother. There is a hell, sister. There is a hell, teenager. There is a hell, drunkard, liar, whoremonger. There's a hell, homosexual. There's a hell, lesbianism. There's a hell, bestiality. There's a hell in which the wicked will never cease in troubling, but the weary shall be at rest. And the only way you can be at rest is in Jesus Christ. He is my rest. He is my hope. He is my joy. He is my love. He is my redemptive power. He is my shelter in the time of trouble. He is my fortress. He is my refuge. He is everything to me. What Christ did on Calvary, I know I'm going to make it in. Because what did he do it for? He did it for the whole world, and he did it for me. And what in the world do I have to worry about where I'm going when I die? He done made my sure and election sure. Paul said, what can separate me from the love of God? He said, nothing. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. That's found in who? Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is my one. That nothing can separate me from his love and from his mercy. These are the last days. Jesus Christ is about to return. All the wars and all the killing that you see today, all the murders and all the party people. Oh, they're partying up. All the football. Don't get me wrong. I ain't got nothing against football, but it don't mean that much to me. It don't mean that much to me. I played football. I played sports in school. But that don't come before God. God is first in my life. What team wins? Whatever team wins, whatever team loses. I'm not betting on that. I ain't got nothing against going to a football game, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. But I'm saying this. If you let football be your savior and you haven't been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and you die on the football field or die in the grandstand or fall and break your neck and you don't know Jesus Christ is your savior, guess what? The minute you die, guess what? You're going to lift up your eyes in hell. Not because you're bad, not because you're good, not because you're black, not because you're white, not because you go to church every Sunday, not because you shake the preacher's hand, but you're going to hell because you reject the only ultimate sacrifice that God has ever made. He never made a sacrifice like that before from here to eternity. When he gave up himself and became a human being and felt exactly what sin is like, seeing sin, seeing what sin done, he was a human being and yet God Almighty, that was the only way God could bring man back into a divine relationship with God Almighty. That was the only way. All other gods are phonies. All other deities is phonies. All of satanic powers and alien beings and all these demonic spirits that's flying around in the air. And these are demons. These are devils. These are fallen angels, and they are coming to earth. The Antichrist is here, ready to roll. The Antichrist is here on the earth today. The Pope of Rome have been affiliated with aliens. Come on, y'all, listen to what I'm telling you. This is no joke. Demons are in the world today. They're infiltrating this planet. And during the tribulation period, they are going to get more stronger and stronger and stronger because the church will be removed. The church will be removed, not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will still be here when the rapture occurs. The rapture is for the body of Christ of baptized Holy Ghost believers that have accepted Jesus Christ 100%, not 99.999. No, it ain't no almost saved. It's saved or you're not saved. You know him or you don't know him. You love or you don't love. Jesus Christ is coming out of a blameless church to present before the throne of judgment, which is the bema seat of Jesus Christ. He's coming like a twinkling of an eye. He's coming so close that we can see it in the book of Ezekiel and the book of the 38th and 39th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. You got to read that. You got to read that. It tells you about an invasion of a northern nation called Russia, Gog and Magog, Meshach and Tubal, are getting ready to invade the Middle East. It may take 7 months, it may take 9 months, but they're working on it right now because Putin is going to invade Ukraine to get to Jerusalem because Ezekiel said the invasion is going to be up on Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is the city of Jesus Christ and the city of the Jewish nation. And they want the Middle East to survive And if they can get the Middle East and destroy the Jewish nation, then God is a liar. And God can't lie. He promised that he would restore the Jewish people 110% and more. Ooh, more than that. And now the Jews are in the land. And they're waiting for this man called the Antichrist. They're preparing a temple. The temple will be built. It will be built. And they will restore the old sacrificial offering, which will not work because the sacrifices of animals and bulls and goats and turtle doves and lambs is no longer in power. Old Testament, they had the power to use animals. But when Jesus Christ, God's son, God himself, suffered and died, slain like a lamb, led to the slaughter like a lamb, and opened not his mouth, suffered and died, come up from the grave on the third day morning, paid the penalty for all your sins, now you can be sanctified to the utmost and become a child of God, become a saint of God, become a redeemed one of God, a prince of God, a king of God, small k. And the world is saying, don't want it. Don't want it. I don't need that. I can get to heaven on my own works. You're a liar, and the truth is not in you. Ain't no way in heaven or in hell that you can get to heaven off of your own religion, off of your own filthy, low-down, dirty, rotten religion, because religion is damning souls today. And Christianity is not, I'll say it again, Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a divine relationship with Jesus Christ and him only. Thou shalt serve. There is no other God before Christ. And Christ is God. Every name, every knee going to bow, and every tongue going to confess. Apostle Paul said, every knee going to bow. If he's not God, what do we have to do with bowing to him? But he is God. By him being God, don't bow down to nothing else. Don't bow down to your mama, your daddy, your sister. And I love my mama, my daddy, my sister, my brother, my uncles, and my aunts, my in-laws, my outlaws. I love them, but I will not bow down to them. I won't bow down to nothing. I won't bow down to nothing but Jesus Christ, flat on my face, pleading and praying for this backward, sinful generation. And the way the Bible puts it like the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Not God's fault. Not God's fault. Your fault. Because you're too stubborn and too self-willed. Thank you, Mr. Big Boy. Thank you, Mr. Big Wheel. Thank you, Mr. Big Hub. But you can't make it. Start shaking the preacher's hand. You got to repent. You got to turn 180 degrees from the sins of the world. And the world is composed of sin. Started in the Garden of Eden. Rolled on down through the Egyptian Empire. The Assyrian Empire, rolled on down through the Babylonian Empire, rolled on down to the Median Persian Empire, rolled on down to the Grecian Empire, rolled on down to the Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire fell in 476 A.D., and the Roman Empire was revived in 1948, and now the Roman Empire has revived with the 10 nations and the 10 horns and the 10 kings and the 10 toes, and it says one out of the horns. 11th horn is the Antichrist. The 11th horn out of the beast is the Antichrist. And the Bible, old Daniel said, and this one horn shall come from among the other 10 nations. And out of the 10 nations, the last one was Greece. That was the 10 nations. But 1986, the 11th one came. And the 11th nation was what? Spain. And out of Spain will come the little horn. And the little horn is alive today, and he's waiting as the Antichrist comes on the scene. He's been the king of Spain since 2014, and he's still king. And when the Lord God Almighty blows the trumpet through Jesus Christ, the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be caught to meet the Lord in the air. And then the Antichrist is going to come and consider to the world, because the world is looking for a Superman. The world is looking for Batman. The world is looking for Spider-Man. The world is looking for X-Men. The world is looking for superheroes. Somebody to make the world a little better. But he's not going to make the world better. He's going to make it worse, because he's coming under disguise. And when he come under disguise, they're going to be so powerful that no man will be able to stand against him. No man will be able to conquer him. There's only one man, God man, God the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, will defeat Jesus Christ, will defeat the devil and all his angels. My friends, time is winding up. Russia's getting ready. They're talking about it now. They're around the round table. They're talking. They're hollering. They're, oh, what are we going to do? Oh, well, Putin said, I'm going to go to the Middle East, and I'm going to conquer it. But I got to do it secretly. I got to do it discreetly. And now the world is wondering what's going to happen in the next 7 months. The next 7 months is going to be a dynamite time. The next 7 months, grocery stores are going to be empty shell. The next 7 months is going to be tornadoes and hurricanes and storms. In the next 7 months, there's going to be more killing and murdering and raping, and all kinds of diabolical demons are working 24-7 24/7 a day. Ain't giving up, man. They're a tireless spirit. They're the prince power of air that works, ooh, in the children of disobedience. People are partying more. They're drinking more. They're gambling more. They're trying to find something to satisfy their soul. But there's nothing in this world to satisfy your soul. It's got to come from another world. It's got to come from heaven. And the only man that I know, God, man, that came from heaven, was nobody but the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright and Morning Star, the Righteous Branch, the Alpha and Omega, ooh, the Hosanna, yeah, the Son of David. My Heavenly Father is going to take the church out. Going to take the church out the way. Going to move. Finally, it came. And all those that's laughing now, joking, and throwing their fists in the air and cursing God and blaspheming God and trying to damn God, and ooh, they're going to find out. They're going to find out. And I hate for them to find it out like that, when they could come to Jesus right now. They could repent right now and say to God Almighty, through his son Jesus Christ, Lord, I am sorry for my sins. I'll turn from my wicked ways and believe upon your son's name, Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9 said, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Saved from what? Sin. Saved what? Your soul. You only got one. You ain't getting another. There's one soul, one way, one God, one baptism, and one heaven and one hell. And you don't want to go to hell, because here's a secret way to escape hell. If thou confess, I'll say it again, if thou confess with thy mouth, 10:9, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, the spirit of man, believe it into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all that call up on him. Call on him. Got to call on the name of Jesus. You got to say, Jesus, have mercy on my soul. Break this chain of sin that's yanking me by the neck and ankle, yanking me in every direction that's destroying my soul. Eliminate my soul from heaven when you can be born again and receive Christ in your life. You can do that right now, whoever is listening to me out there. Whoever have a desire to come to Jesus Christ right now. This is Brother Bazaar. I've been on all this month. Last month, I was on all month long. I done 12 sessions. Brother Tim Jackson, 12 sessions. I don't want to miss a day. I don't want to miss the time that I come on. I want to be here because there's a whole lot more in 2022 that's going to happen like a bolt of light. And when we get close to the last Jewish month, which is September, Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, October, Yom Kippur, and Feast of Tabernacles, we're getting to the last three biblical feast days that must got to be fulfilled. 2022 is a year, I believe. This is me now. Don't have to believe. I believe Jesus Christ is coming this year. You hear what I said? Russia. Woo! Get ready to pinpoint it. You can go to the grocery store now and get your little bologna and get your little bread and do all your little things, but there's a time coming this year it's going to get tight. People right now fighting in restaurants. Golden Corral ran out of steaks, and they tore the place up because they ran out of steaks. Meat. And the reason they ran out of steak because the tractor trailer drivers is on strike. They're protesting. They don't want to get no shot. So Biden said mandatory. Well, mandatory means that a lot of people ain't going to mandatory get no food at the grocery store. The farmers. The devil is trying to control people's mind. And guess what? The world is letting. Because they won't serve the living God. They won't bow down to the living God. They won't fear the living God. And when you detest God, and when you throw up your fist and go around with your proud self, let me tell you, that's a dangerous thing. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And he got so angry in the book of Deuteronomy, he said, look, Israel, I'll wipe you off the face of the earth because you're so rebellious. You won't humble yourself. America is not humbling themselves. And a lot of people are going to get their face wiped because they'll be testing God. They're testing him. They're tempting him. And don't you tell me. Don't mess with the Lord. I'll tell you one thing, and I'm going to close as I get ready to go out, but I love every one of y'all out there. I love you with all my heart. The most devastating judgment that ever brought up on a woman was Jezebel. Jezebel was a wicked woman, and she suffered a wicked judgment. Just to give you some information on what happened to Jezebel. Jezebel was a pretty woman. Oh, she was a Phoenician queen. She had it. She had 850 false prophets. God told her to repent. Jezebel, I can say, hey, I can say it, and God ain't going to condemn her. Jezebel had the spirit of saying to hell with Yahweh. I ain't going to do nothing, do what I got to do. Whether he bring judgment on me or not, I'm going to get my false prophets and I'm going to bring Israel into paganism to worship the God I serve, which was Baal and Zeus and Moloch God. And God warned and said, now Jezebel, repent. Jezebel didn't repent until the final episode came, to the last opportunity that God gave her time to repent. She didn't repent. Make a long story short, when she was up on in her room, in her ivory rooms, and she came out and seen two Zeriel. And I think his name, I don't know his name, the man, but he said, throw her down. Pick her up and throw her down. And the Bible said her body splattered against the wall and hit the ground like a sack of potatoes. Bam, bam. And the chariots, oh my God, the chariots, this is Bible, read it. Next time I come home, I'll read it. The chariot ran over. Chariot wheel put a face in the ground and ran over. I don't know how many chariots did, three or four, four, five, six or seven. But after they ran over, the dogs start smelling the blood. They start licking the blood. They ate everything. Huh. You hear what I'm saying? God don't play. You won't pay if you play with God. The woman was wicked and she was eaten by dogs. And God told the dog, don't eat everything. Leave her head, leave her feet, and leave her hands. And I know, I don't know what they had, a giant plastic bag to drop the head in, drop her feet in, drop everything into the bag and throw it in the ground. I'm sick of her. And she died that day. And God told Elijah before Jezebel got killed to kill 400 prophets. And Elijah had to take a sword and cut every one of their heads off. Because there was what? Pagan in the man. Worshipping other gods, sex goddess. Worshipping all kinds of deities. And God got angry. And he said, I'm done with it. In judgment, it's going to be awesome than that. In the great white throne, it's going to be terrifying for those that rejected Christ. Because you're wicked. The most wickedest sin that what a man can do, the wickedest, is to reject the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. You hear that again? I'm going to say that again. The wickedest sin that a man could do that would put him in hell would be the rejection of Jesus Christ and his precious blood. No blood, hell will be your own. And the world today has rejected the cross, rejected suffering, rejected his miracles, rejected his love, rejected everything that God has given through his son. The world, majority of the world has rejected it. And so what they got to suffer? They got to suffer for their own sin. If you go to hell, the reason is you're suffering for your own sin. And one of your greatest sins is unbelief. Don't ever think you're going to get to heaven by your works. Your works will never, 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 never get you to into the kingdom. It's going to take repentance, godly sorrow. Turn from your wickedness. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. This is Elder Bazaar coming to you from Warren, Ohio. Brother Tim had to go to work tonight, so he left a little early, but I'm here. I'm here till 11 o'clock. I want to say to those that listen to me out there, I hope you continue to listen. I'm here because one reason God sent me to be here.
And I hope I can touch somebody's life. The reason I'm preaching so hard and teaching so hard because I don't want nobody to be lost out there. I want you to come to Christ. I don't care who you are, what you are, where you're coming from, or what you done done. You can be saved right now. You can accept Jesus Christ right now. And you know that you know exactly when you have accepted Jesus Christ. You pass from death to life. You pass from hate to love. What you love now, when you accept Christ, you're hated. And if you love Christ, you're going to hate sin. If you reject Christ, you're going to love sin. Because the devil is the father of lies. He's the father of sin. He's the author of sin. He's sin himself. He's low down. He cannot be saved. He cannot be redeemed. Why? Because he's a fallen cherubim. He has no blood system. Only mankind has a blood system because the soul is in the blood. And since the soul is in the blood, mankind can be saved. And the devil do not want mankind to come to Christ. He don't. He don't. He'll do anything to keep you from the cross. And Jesus Christ will do the right thing so that you can get saved. And the right thing was Christ done. He paid your penalty. He paid for your penalty. And he gave his life and rose from the dead that you could be saved. He took your sin, my sin, sins of the whole world. Don't pass it up. Don't let that boyfriend take you. Don't let your mom or your sister or your brother or whoever it may be, because relatives in the family don't mean you're going to heaven. Everyone in your family, in my family, has to be saved. I got a brother. I ain't seen him in 20 years. I'm concerned about his salvation. I'm praying every day for Christ to save those that want to be saved. I don't want you to be lost. God loves you. I love you. And if I didn't love you, I wouldn't be on. I wouldn't be here. If I didn't love you, if I wasn't concerned about your salvation, I wouldn't. But it's the Christ in me. It's the Christ in me that's concerned about your salvation. Father, we come to you right now, thanking you for your mercy and for your goodness. Thank you for salvation through your son. Somebody out there that's listening to me right now, I just ask you right now to touch their heart. Let them bow down in your repentant spirit. Let them be able to confess with their mouth and believe with their heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Let them believe that he's soon to come and he's preparing his church right now. And in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ will rise, and we that remain alive should be caught to meet the Lord in there, Lord, that they'll be ready. That they don't want to have to go through the tribulation period and face the raw, slew-foot, diabolical antichrist that would try to deceive the world. Move up on their hearts now. Give them the faith and increase their wisdom and knowledge that they've come to Christ. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God loves you. As I said, this is Elder Bazaar, trying to use every minute I got. I'll see you Saturday at 7. Brother Tim is going to have his program on. I'll be with him. Then Sunday I'll be on again. By me being on again, that'll be Sunday at 5 o'clock, 2 hours. We're going to go over it again. And I'll tell you one thing. He may sound like a broken record, but I'll tell you one thing, this broken record is the only record I've got. But it's not a broken record to me. It's a way and the only way to escape the damnations of hell through Jesus Christ. I pray. Amen. God bless you. See you soon.